Bible, and I'm going to preach about the whole Bible tonight. don't be alarmed. We're not going to be here all night. But I'm going to preach about the whole Bible tonight and where it came from. That's the most important thing. And so I want to start out with Genesis chapter 1. That's where it all started, right? In the beginning, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It said, the earth was all without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then it says, and God said. I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about the oracles of God. Do you know what the oracles of God are? It's in the Bible four times. Only four times we find the word oracles in the Bible. And so as we go into this effort meeting that we pray that will turn into revival, the one thing that we must stick to is the Word of God. I've worked with Brother Hackett many years. We've been working together in revivals. I was trying to think it up, Brother Hackett. I guess over 25 years we've worked together in revivals, off and on. And we've always just had some wonderful services. We've seen people get saved. We've seen people that struggled to get saved, and as far as we know, they didn't. But we've worked together in love and harmony, and one of the best things that we share is we're both granddads to the same twin girls. And that's a blessing in itself to be able to work together with the one whose daughter married my son and to come and worship together. But tonight as we worship together, I want you to think about the oracles of God and the four places that we find it in the Bible. We'll look at that in just a moment. Before we do, I want you to look, it's four places in the New Testament that we'll look at, and all four places it uses the same word, oracle. Now, the word oracle comes from a Greek word, and it is logion. Logion is how it's pronounced, at least it says that way. But the word logion in the Greek, or oracles, means, listen to this, fluent, eloquent, which I'm not, and utterance of God. What does this mean? It means that the voice of God spoke all of this into existence. Amen. It says, God said, and there was light. God said, and for the next 5 days, He created all of these things. And then it says that on the seventh day, He rested. But God spoke it all into existence. Amen. We also know this, that the Bible says in 2 Timothy, and I'm going to show you in just a few moments, as God gives us the leadership to go into this message and why that the Lord laid this upon me. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said this concerning the Scriptures. And that's what we want to get into, is the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are so important. It says this in the 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it says, let me look at verse 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And it says, and from a child, it says, has known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It says, all Scripture. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture. The Bible says all Scripture, it says, is given by inspiration of God. God spoke it to men, and they penned this down. And it's amazing to me that God has preserved His Word and His utterance since the beginning of time until we're here tonight. Now, that's something in itself, and it's very important. And for a person to be saved, I am confident that you'll have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It comes in many ways. I agree. And I agree that even the woman at the well, she went and told him about a man that told her all things. And it says they believed her and they went and heard it for themselves. Many believed on her word and also the word that Jesus himself spoke. But it says all scriptures given by inspiration. And it says it's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Listen to this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, as we get ready to look at these four places in the Bible where the word oracle is used, the next thing I want to say is this. That the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12, it says this. It says, for the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing of soul and spirit. Now, I may have missed a part of that, so I'm going to go back and make sure that I got it, because I'm up here telling myself, you don't hear this, but I do. Slow down, boy, and don't get ahead. Just let God be God and let him speak through me. Even as I'm speaking tonight, I want God to have the utterance. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus Christ and his word that needs to be preached. And when it's preached, as this brother has already said, and the truth is revealed, then it's all between you and God. Now listen to what this says in Hebrews chapter 4. As we look at this for just a moment, I'll try to slow down and not get ahead of myself. I'm always, every time I get in a hurry, I hear Mary Doss speaking in my ears. Yes, she was a member at Fairview Memorial up there in Bowling Green, Kentucky when I first started out preaching. She said, now we love the way you preach, but just slow down a little bit. I can't keep up with you. And so that's what I try to do. I continue to tell myself, slow down, and so that I can give what the Bible is teaching us and that it may have utterance to everyone that's here. As I said, for the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, swords piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. There was a reason why I needed to look at this. And the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, if you read on through there, you'll see there's some other things that we'll look at in just a little while. In fact, I'll give you a clue. This is one of the places in the next chapter where the word of the oracles of God is used. But before we get to there, I want you to look at something else with me for just a moment. Let's go to the first time that is used. And it's kind of striking to me how and who used it in a presentation. In the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, we'll find that the word oracle is used by a deacon by the name of Stephen. He was telling these people here after he had been ordained as a deacon, and he put a defense together before the Sanhedrin court. And as he's beginning to tell all these people, he begins to tell them about Moses. Now, why is Moses so important? Well, first of all, Moses wrote Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Did you know that? The first five books of the Bible were written by Moses up until the point of Deuteronomy. In the 30th chapter, we find that Moses went over into the promised land, or where God buried his body and took him over into heaven. He got to see the promised land, but he didn't get to go in it. And then Joshua wrote the rest of the Pentateuch, is what we call it, or the first five books of the Pentateuch. And so it's very important that we notice that Stephen, as he's going to the defense of his people at that time, and that's going to be key too, concerning the oracles of God, because the oracles of God were given to the Jews. Right. It was given to the Jews, and they didn't take full advantage. Brothers and sisters, we need to take full advantage that we still have the oracles of God. Right. When Stephen was presented, now I want you to notice with me, let's go to Acts chapter 7 and look at verse 37. It says, this is that Moses, this is Stephen speaking before he got stoned, you remember? And it's after that, Paul wrote, it's just amazing to me how that Paul could write to the young preacher Timothy, who had learned under his mother and grandmother the oracles of God. That's what the oracles of God, don't be confused about this. This, the oracles of God are God's word, what he spoke, and listen, he even brought himself into the world. You say, how did he do that? Well, he's Emmanuel, God with us, when Jesus was born into the world, you see. And when he came into the world, the Bible says that John, the apostle who loved him very much, he also said in his version of Genesis chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Now, the Word is what God himself or the oracles of God is presented. And so you're not going to be able to separate that. As Brother Nathan said tonight, it's all about the preaching of the cross, you see, and the one who died on the cross. But we would have no clue what it all meant unless God Himself spoke it for us to understand. The Jews that had the oracles of God, keep in mind, Stephen was of the Jewish nation. But listen, we're going to look at there's got to be something even more than just being circumcised into the Jewish nation. There has to be, and it all fits together. I'll get to that in a little bit. But listen, it all fits together. The point I'm trying to make is here Stephen is, and he's preaching, I guess he is, but most of all, he's telling about what's going on in the days of Moses up to the point where he tells about the oracles of God. And who is listening? Intently, a man by the name of Saul, who was of the tribe of Benjamin, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he was the strictest of all the Jewish nation, and he's hearing about Moses, who he already knows. But he didn't understand what God was trying to convey. A lot of people in this world are not understanding what God is trying to convey to them in the message. And so that's why he chose the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise and to help them understand that even a child should be able to understand that God does all of this. Now, listen to what he says. He said, "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear." Now, that's none other than Jesus himself. He says, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness." A lot of people say, "What do you mean, church in the wilderness?" I'll tell you, there was an assembly of people that really knew that God was real and knew the spiritual aspects of what God was doing, even in the beginning. Yeah. Did you remember what it said? It says the Spirit moved on. God was there. Even when you get Jesus, one thing that God did there when he created Adam, he created him and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And every time that he created something, he said it's good. But when he created that, he said, "Oh, that's very good." Why? Because it was created in his image. Now, why is that important? That's why we're having an effort meeting to help people understand that when you become lost and separated from God, that you have the only way back to fellowship with God is through the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when Stephen was telling this, listen to what he says. "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness," and the word church there means the assembly, "in the wilderness with the angel which spake unto him in Mount Sinai," and he says, "and with our fathers who received the lively," what? This, what? This is not a dead letter. The Spirit of God makes it live. This is lively oracles. We don't serve a dead God. He's alive and well. He's not one bit older than he was since the very beginning when he came. Well, that's not even a proper summary of. He's just always been. How can you? There's nothing else you can say. God is just always been. Stephen understood that these oracles were so alive that he himself experienced the same thing that you and I did. Listen to what it says. He says, "These are lively," what? "Lively oracles to give unto us." That word oracles is the first time you're going to find it. You say, "What? I thought you said the oracles of God." The next three, you're going to find out that they're going to clarify that the oracles are of God. They are alive and it's real. I'm telling you, what I feel up here is real. I feel free. I mean, 5 minutes ago, I was dreading getting up here, but right now, I feel free. I feel the presence of God. And I'll tell you, when I started feeling it, the songs were great. And I was really getting into it. But then when people begin to testify, Brother Joe and this brother and others, and you can see the presence of God and His voice speaking in the midst. You see, Stephen felt that, and this is what he said. He says, "Who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and their hearts turned back again to Egypt, saying unto Aaron," this sounds so familiar, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, are what not what is become of him? Where was Moses at? He was up on the mountain, and he was talking with God. There was a smoke on the mountain, and the Bible says, as they were down there, Aaron lied. He said, when Moses came down, the people said, they thought you was dead, so they gave me this gold. We throwed it in the fire, and a calf came out. Lie, lie, lie. Isn't that what people do? I'll tell you, they created that, you see. And Stephen called them on it. Stephen called his own people on the fact that they did not obey the voice of God. If we're going to obey the voice of God, you got to understand what it is. It's the oracles or the utterance, and it is perfect. It's fluent. What do you mean fluent? I remember when God revealed to me I was lost.
Yeah.
And I truly know it wasn't a man, it wasn't a woman, it wasn't anybody else, but God Himself let me know fluently that I was lost and separated from Him, and He fluently and eloquently. I'll tell you, there's no fluent or eloquent utterance that there's ever been than the voice of God when He speaks. And not only did He speak all of this into existence, He spoke peace to my soul. He called me. I can take you to the place in Bowling Green, Kentucky, where God called me to preach His word. That utterance of His voice was the direct oracle that came here, came to my heart in that way. Listen to this. When he said, and they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifices unto idol and rejoiced in the works of what? He said, the works of their own hands. You see, a lot of people want to take credit for being and doing. Thank you, Sister Kathy. I appreciate that very much. I had COVID a couple of weeks ago, and I hadn't quite got over it, but I'm free now. Don't be worried. That's right. And so that was my second time around. And so my voice, you know, I just pushed through it. That's all I can do. And y'all bear with me. Now, so we see here that they rejoice at the works of their own hand, you see. And so we see here now that he, Stephen, well, I could go through the rest of it, but you know what happened to him, didn't you? It made them so angry that they gnashed on him. They took their clothes off, and they laid them at a young man's feet, a young man by the name of Saul, who consented to the stoning of Stephen. And I'm going to tell you, even though it was gruesome and just an awful thing for people to witness, but when he looked up, you know what he saw? He didn't see Jesus sitting at the right hand. He saw Jesus standing right at the right hand to welcome him home. Amen. So why do we want the oracles of God to be presented? Because we want people to be able to go and have the same journey back home that we have. Now look, let's look at the first principle. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6 and we'll find something here. Now let's go to chapter 5 first. Because this is the next place the Lord directed my heart concerning, and you're going to hear it word for word about the oracles of God. And it might be surprising to you how that this was presented, but it's important that we understand why it was presented in this way. You see, we come together to have an effort meeting, but we want the church to be revived.
Amen.
We do. Whether it's 2 or whether it's 2042, it doesn't matter. We need the presence of God.
Amen.
To come down and encourage us.
Yes.
But listen to what it says in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And let's look at verse 12. It says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, having need that one teacheth you again, which be the first principles of what? The oracles of God. We should never leave the first principles of the oracles of God. And you want to know what the first principles of the oracle of God is? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
So this writer says, he says, the one that teach you again the first oracles of God and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. Now in the sixth chapter, let's look at this. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Sometimes after you get saved, we got to go on and teach other things. We got to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. But never, never, never lose sight of the fact that the oracles of God all start with the relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We never understand what the oracles of God are lest Jesus come into our hearts, you see. Even Paul told Timothy that when he said, prior to all the scripture by inspiration is given, he talks about Jesus Christ. Every one of them are going to link. The oracles of God will always link with the principal portion of this, or the foundation, or the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. And you build upon that. Now listen, he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, or the doctrine of baptism and laying on of the hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, the only way that that happens is the oracles of God penetrates and lets us know that we're lost and separated from God, and when He saves our soul, it is the first principle, the number one principle of the oracles of God. If we have tasted the good word of God, listen, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, and cometh upon oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. He says, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope, and he says, unto the end, and that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promise. To brothers and sisters, we need to stand on the oracles of God, not be ashamed to proclaim that God is alive and that Jesus Christ is willing and ready to speak to us, that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Now listen, what I told you a minute ago, the Jews, they did. They had an advantage. They had an advantage over the Gentiles. And we find in the third chapter of the book of Romans, we find the other place where the word oracles of God is used. Now, before we get to that point, I want you to know that I firmly believe in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When the oracles of God are preached, the Spirit of God gets a hold of somebody and they begin to be convicted of sin and realize that it's God that's doing that. You're getting to a position where that you can be saved. And when you become saved, listen to what this says in the 28th verse of the second chapter of the book of Romans. For he is not a Jew that is one outwardly, neither is the circumcision which is outward to in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Listen to this. So what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? You know what the advantage was? And thank God that there was Jews that got saved and passed it on so that you and I could be here. I'm not down on Jews. I'll tell you what, I am one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now it just got personal, didn't it? Can you say you are one? Because I've been adopted into the family of God.
Amen.
And I've been circumcised in heart.
Amen.
That is why I can stand today and tell you how much I love the oracles of God.
Amen.
He says, what advantage then hath of the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. You know what, Jesus? He was Jewish.
Yeah.
What? Absolutely. And every one that is truly saved by God's grace is a Jew inwardly.
Amen.
And because of that, listen to this. It was all because they passed down the oracles of God as He presented it. Here we have the Word of God over 2,000 years and many more years in the making as God spoke. And I'll tell you what, I'm amazed how God can remember from one year to the next and tell somebody in the beginning 6,000 years ago and still bring it up fresh even today.
Amen.
That's the power of God.
Amen.
And only He could do that. He says, and much more, every way chiefly, because that they were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. That means it came from the Old Testament. So Paul is going back and finding some Old Testament writings and said that thou mightest be justified in the sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness condemn the righteous of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Now this is important because he's leading up to something. And not rather as if be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say. Long ways from when he saw the Stephen and stoning, until now, writing to the Romans. He's grown a lot, hasn't he? He's come to a full understanding of what the oracles of God really mean. Let us do evil, and that good may come whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have both proved, both Jews and Gentiles, there's something common among all of us. You know what it is? We're all under sin.
Yeah.
Since we're all under sin, everybody's got to come back to God the same way.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for the message and utterance and oracles of God? Because
yeah,
right. Without it, we would have no inclination and we would be totally ignorant on how to get there. Do you mean you got to repeat a prayer? Absolutely not. Do you mean you got to go get baptized? Absolutely not. But what you're going to have to do is you're going to have a connection where God Himself speaks to your heart.
Yes, sir.
And when He does, it's between you and God.
Amen.
I firmly believe that the oracles of God are just as rich and as pure and as powerful as God has ever been.
Amen.
Even more so. Because man has gotten further away from God. And it seems as if our sin is getting worse all the time. But it's still not too hard for God to reach even the hardest of sinners.
Amen.
So He says this, We're all under sin. As it written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God until he reveals himself. They are all gone out of the way, and they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, a grave, and their tongues. They have used deceit. A poisonous asp or a snake is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, what is the issue? A godless and wicked, perverse world we live in.
Yeah.
But God's spoken word from him himself, yeah, that speaks to our heart,
yeah,
helps us to understand that he's the only one that it can erase all of that.
Yeah.
And he will. And he does. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a fitting song tonight. The old rugged cross. It speaks volumes of what God's purpose is. And his purpose in his will. His purpose and will. It works together. You know what? It's not his will that any should perish.
Amen.
But come unto repentance. Now listen to this. But what we have to understand is the oracles of God. You know what sin is? Sin is the definition has left me, but I can go over and look it up. I believe I know where it's at. I believe I can find it. Sin is the there it is. All unrighteousness is sin. There's not a sin unto death. But you know what sin is? Sin is the breaking. Well, I just can't get it right. But I'll look it up here. Here it is. Oh, there it is. It says, whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Who gave us the law? Somebody might say, well, Moses did. Well, you know who gave Moses the law? The oracles of God.
Yeah.
I started to talk about Moses being on that Mount Sinai. You know when he came off and he saw them and that golden calf there, you know what he did? He threw those stones down. They all broke to pieces. Did you know God wrote them with his finger? He didn't have to speak those. But sin is the transgression of God's law. Paul pointed out what a lot of those are. How are you going to know what sin is if you don't know what the oracles of God are telling us? So listen to this. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth shall be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. If I had just read it further enough, we'd have found it right there. But John the Revelator said the same thing. John the Apostle in verse 21. But now the righteous of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, here we go, of Jesus Christ. And to all upon them that believe or trust, the word pistio, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This all started out about the advantage the Jews had. But you know what? Of Israel rejected God.
Yeah.
And people are still rejecting God.
Yeah.
Even though God himself spoke all of this into existence. Now, as a church, you might say, why do we have a revival? Did you know that it connected to the oracles of God? I'll show you. In 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll find the fourth place that the word oracles of God is used. And it's very specific. You know why? Because you and I, we are stewards of God's grace by preaching, teaching, and standing up for the oracles of God.
Yeah.
How are you going to preach, teach, and stand for the oracles of God if you don't know what the oracles of God are? It's very elementary. The oracles of God are the Word of God. And it is when it is accompanied by the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you what it will do. It will convict lost sinners. They'll seek the Lord. They'll put godly sorrow in their heart. They'll seek Him and get saved by God's glorious grace, and that's it. No, it's not. If we've been saved by the grace of God, we need to grow.
Amen.
Continually in the oracles of God. Why? When I was pastor here just a few years ago, I looked up the statistics, because when I got called to pastor at Faith Missionary Baptist Church here in Davidson County, one of the first things I did is I looked up the population in Davidson County. At that time, it was over 900,000 people. It's probably at or over a million now, because that was 3 years ago. And you know what? God laid a burden on my heart for every one of them to get saved. And the only way they'll get saved is the preaching, teaching, and the fact that we are stewards. We will be before God and give an account as to how we not only presented the oracles of God, but how we lived according to the oracles of God.
Amen.
You say, well, that, what does it got to do with an effort meeting or revival? It's got everything to do with it. We can't do it. I can't do it. He can't do it. That can't. But together with God, it's possible that all 900,000 people hear the gospel and get saved in Davidson County. There's at least a few that's saved here in this building, and a few in another locale over here and over there. But I'll tell you what we're doing. We're working together, not against each other, if you truly want to preach the gospel. Now, why do we say all that? Because the Apostle Peter said this in the fourth place where he gave a credit to God. It says in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, verse 4, and verse 1, and I'll try to bring this to a close. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. You want to have revival? You arm yourself with the same mind, and we all suffer with Christ. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh of the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them of the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. There are people that are judging us, saying, why in the world would you want to take ancient writings and say that it's the Word of God, and that you stand on the Word of God and on the promises of God, and you still believe it's just as alive and real today? I'll tell you why. Because I have it in my heart. What? You know what Peter said? He said a day star. It wasn't just God's Word. It wasn't just the oracles of God. It was the day star that shined in my heart. That revealed to me the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ in the face of Jesus Christ. But listen to this. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account of him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to what? God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Let me say that again. But the end of all things is at hand. And this was written 2,000 years ago. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. I believe that one of the key elements in having a revival is that we watch and in prayer and willing to do what God would have for us to do. And it all comes from the oracles of God. Listen to this. And above all things, have fervent charity. I don't know how. There's only two that I really have fervent charity. And the word charity means unconditional love for. Two. And that is God and my family, especially my wife and my children and everybody else and the church. We need to love one another fervently, you see.
Amen.
It's very important. Why? Because the oracles of God teaches us that we should be that way. And not only that, but Jesus said when the time was at hand and the time was about to end, He said one of the things that was going to be really noticeable in society is the love of many, including those in the church, would wax cold.
Yeah.
So it needs to be fervent. Listen to this, and I'll close. Among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins, using hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, I wasn't just telling you that to be saying it. I'm telling you, it is so important that we do that. Why? Because of the next verse. Listen to what it says. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's my end goal. My aim and my goal right now. That you wouldn't look on me, you wouldn't look at my mistakes, but what you would do is you would look at the ability that God has given me to share with you in four places in the Bible why it is so important for us to adhere to the oracles of God. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now that sums it up. I'm just amazed and that there's that God would just speak all of this into existence, and how that Jesus Himself, when He was here, that He didn't want any glory for Himself. Everything He did was for the glory of the Father. And it was God Himself that spoke eloquently, utterance. And isn't it so sweet? I mean, it is so sweet when we hear the voice of God and we feel His presence. And when we see others and they get up and they speak about God and what God has done for them, saving their soul, and then delivering them from so many things in this world, and delivering our children and all these things.
Yeah.
And because that God loved us so much. And I know that the reason I'm here is all because of God. And my existence is all because of God. And I'll tell you, if there's one thing that blesses me beyond measure, is when I get into the Word of God and I began to read what He spoke. And then God makes that real to me. He wants to make it real to everybody who He is. But if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, all of this will be just mumble jumble words coming together. And maybe you're saying, well, I don't understand a word of it. I'll tell you, when Jesus comes in your heart, then you'll start to understand that the Word of God is true, that He's real, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, God Himself came down. The deity of Christ came down among us and did what He was sent to do. And when He said, it is finished, you know what that meant? He meant it's all done. The pathway is clear for every sinner to get back to God. Because finally, when man transgressed in the garden and fellowship was and death was passed upon all person, death is separation. That's what that is. The only way that separation could be put back together is through the one in the middle, Jesus Christ, the one between God and man. And all of this was spoken to men and they wrote it. God has still preserved it today for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached to a lost and dying world. If our gospel be hid, you know it's hid to?
Those
that are lost. But the light of the glorious gospel and the Word of God, when it's preached and the Holy Spirit takes it and puts it in your heart, God makes Himself revealed to you and real to you. Do you remember the first time God made himself real to you? It scared me to death. It was that time when I was a 9-year-old boy, and they'd say, "You'll know when you're lost." "Mom, how will you know?" "You'll know." The voice of God tells us, "When will you know you're saved?" That same oracle teaches us that God himself does it all.
Amen.
From start to finish. And I'm thankful that it's that way. Brother Dyer, if you've got a song, I believe I've finished what God sent me to do here tonight. I appreciate you praying for me. But if you're here tonight, it's between you and God now. You either believe it or you don't. And if God's knocking on your heart when you stand, that was the sure evidence of what the preacher said was true. When they started singing the songs and testifying, there was something that was empty and missing right there. But God wants to fill that void, and he wants to put peace in your heart. If you're here tonight, as we stand and sing, why don't you come and seek the Lord while you have time and opportunity? If you're here tonight and you have been saved and God has just blessed you and fed you with a little meat, then give him the glory and the honor. Because you see, once you get saved, you grow in the milk and then you need to get into the meat. And I hope and pray that you see that in the Word of God tonight. God bless you, Brother Nathan. I'll turn the service back over to you.